Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, August 30th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Futures rise following the worst two-day stock sell-off since June.
A top Fed official says he was happy how the market reacted to Jay Powell's Jackson Hole speech.
And the Biden administration said to be preparing to sell $1 billion in arms to Taiwan.
New York Mayor Adams provides more resources for pregnant women. Plus, Ukraine has launched a southern offensive as inspectors head to a nuclear plant. I'm Michael Barr, more ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Aaron Judge's 50th home run given a Yankee loss to the Angels. Serena Williams advances at the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 35 points, Dow futures up 220, and NASDAQ futures up 144. 10-year Treasury up 13 32nds, yield 3.05%, and the yield on the two-year 3.41%, and NYMEX crude oil is down 0.3%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, the rise in futures follows two straight days of losses on Wall Street. In fact, the S&P 500 and NASDAQ 100 posted their worst two-day tumble since mid-June following Fed Chair Jay Powell's hawkish comments on Friday. Aaron Cannon is CEO at Clear Harbor Asset Management.
There has been a belief since perhaps mid-June that the Fed at some point, perhaps even by the end of the year, would be in a position where they're looking at data and decelerating inflation, and that they may, in fact, be in a position to pivot. And I think what we heard on Friday was that's not accurate. Do not fight the Fed. You know, if you're predicting a pivot soon, please do not bet on it.
Aaron Cannon with Clear Harbor Asset Management says equities could experience a rough patch as the Fed continues battling inflation.
While investors may have been rattled by the stock market reaction to Powell's speech, Nathan, Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari says it was good by him.
I certainly was not excited to see the stock market rallying after our last Federal Open Market Committee meeting, because I know how committed we all are to getting inflation down. And I somehow think the markets were misunderstanding that. And I was actually happy to see how Chair Powell's Jackson Hole speech was received. You know, people now understand the seriousness of our commitment to getting inflation back down to 2%.
Kashkari said the U.S. Central Bank is determined to contain inflation.
The most costly mistake we will make is if we get fooled thinking, oh, we've got inflation licked. Now let's go cut interest rates because the economy is showing signs of weakening. And so the way to deal with the lags for me is just to get somewhere and sit there until we're really convinced that we've got inflation licked.
Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari made the comments on the Odd Lots podcast with Bloomberg's Tracy Alloway and Joe Weisenthal. Listen to the entire interview wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, interest rates are also in focus in Europe, Karen. ECB chief economist Philip Lane is urging a steady pace of rate hikes to fight record inflation. He thinks it'll help minimize any negative consequences.
Where we are now, where the policy rate is zero, is below any version of the terminal rate. We said in July, and it's fairly obvious, and the market believes that the surveys anticipated, is there will be a series of hikes coming up. But of course, what the big debate is exactly how high should the accumulated increase be.
ECB chief economist Philip Lane's comments seem to push back against some of his colleagues who floated the idea of a 75 basis point hike at next week's meeting.
Well, to corporate news now, Nathan, Microsoft has outlined planned changes to the terms of its software licensing agreements in Europe. And Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has that story.
It follows complaints to antitrust regulators from some European cloud computing service providers that the company's practices put rivals at a competitive disadvantage. Microsoft says the changes will make it simpler for customers of rival cloud service companies in Europe to move their existing software to these other networks. It says the new terms will also ensure that cloud partners, quote, have access to the products necessary to sell cost-effective solutions that customers want. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. On the earnings front, we get quarterly results later this morning from Best Buy. Bloomberg's Tom Busby has a preview.
After cutting its annual profit and sales forecast in July, it's expected to be a dismal second quarter earnings report from the Minnesota-based retailer as it contends with weakening demand for PCs, laptops, and other consumer electronics. U.S. comp sales forecast to tumble more than 11% last quarter. The big focus, though, for investors, the chain's outlook for the all-important holiday shopping season. Consensus calls for adjusted earnings per share of $1.38, revenue of $10.35 billion. I'm Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thank you. To politics now, Bloomberg News has learned the Biden administration is preparing to sell $1.1 billion in missiles and radar support to Taiwan. It would be the largest transfer of U.S. weapons to Taiwan in almost 2 years. Although the sale does not offer Taiwan any new military capacity, it's still likely to lead to more protests from China.
And we're watching for a primetime speech later this week from President Biden. Karen, he'll escalate his criticism of what he calls extreme MAGA Republicans. Let's get a preview now from Amy Morris in our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
White House officials tell Bloomberg News President Biden will speak about the battle for the soul of the nation and will warn that the country's core values, including democracy itself, are at stake. Thursday's address from Philadelphia's Independence National Historical Park will condemn the GOP for what Biden regards as their threats to U.S. rights and freedoms and sharpen his attacks on Republicans as he works to reframe the midterm elections, which are traditionally punishing for first-term presidents. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thanks. President Biden's approval ratings have been on the rise. The poll tracking website 538 now says Democrats are now slightly favored to keep control of the Senate in November. Republicans, meanwhile, are dealing with multiple investigations against former President Donald Trump. Bloomberg political contributor Jeannie Sheehan Zeno says the more the former president is in the news, the better it is for Democrats.
Republicans know that. They would like to turn their focus on Joe Biden. They'd like to talk about inflation. They'd like to talk about his age. They'd like to talk about a whole bunch of things. They haven't gotten the oxygen in the room because Donald Trump takes it all up.
Bloomberg politics contributor Jeannie Sheehan Zeno spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 75 degrees in Central Park. Got some late road work. It's got the northbound New Jersey Turnpike car lanes closed between exits 6 and 12. Get the details shortly in traffic. First, Michael Barr is here with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City will give pregnant women more support and expanded access to resources. It's an effort to address health disparities and make pregnancy safer. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says that he is signing 7 bills into law making pregnancy safer and bridge the gap for maternal health care for black women.
And the numbers are clear. Black women are 9 times more likely to die of pregnancy-related causes than white women in New York City. That is an alarming, unacceptable number.
Mayor Adams says the bills would do several things, including establishing a maternal bill of rights and for women to be free from discrimination. A teen lost an arm after an impact in the New York City subway. The 15-year-old's arm was severed after he struck a northbound R train in Jackson Heights, Queens. He's currently in stable condition at Bellevue Hospital. Police said the teen is not believed to have been the victim of a crime, and they're looking at surveillance footage. Ukraine's military says it is advancing in Russian-held territory just north of the Crimea Peninsula. Ukrainian forces launched ground assaults in the Kherson region. It comes as the International Atomic Energy Agency heads to the Russian-occupied nuclear power plant to the northeast in Ukraine. There is no safe water to drink from the tap for up to 180,000 people in Jackson, Mississippi. Floodwaters from the Pearl River are going down, knocking out the main pumping station. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves.
We are drafting a state of emergency declaration with regards to Jackson's failure to produce running water.
Governor Reeves says that also means there is less or no water to fight fires and flush toilets. Climate researchers are sounding the alarm warning that Greenland's melting ice sheet will eventually raise global sea levels by about 10 inches. According to the report in the journal Nature, the fear now is that it may be inevitable. Author and science journalist Gaia Vence says nations have to start planning now for future climate refugees and mass migration.
People will not be able to adapt in certain places. They will have to move. author Guy Evintz. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
Good morning, Nathan. Yankees, after a couple of losses in Oakland, began a series in Anaheim, and in the eighth inning, a milestone.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50. Into the rock pile in center field in Anaheim. It's 4-3 Angels after home run number 50 for Aaron Judge.
The FAN, the call. He's only the 10th player in baseball history to have two 50 home run seasons, and he gets there before even getting to September. And the question now is if Judge can break Roger Maris's Yankee and American League record of 61 homers. Angels won 4-3 on a Shohei Ohtani two-run homer, his 29th. It came off Frankie Montas, whose record with the Yanks and the A's just 4-11. The Dodgers, with a 10-inning win in Miami, they've got a record that's 51 games over 500. Dodgers start a series tonight with the Mets at Citi Field, where across the parking lot at the U.S. Open last night, a hot ticket to see Serena Williams, not the final match of her career. She beat Danka Kovinic in straight sets, so she'll be back tomorrow night for a second-round match with Anett Kontaveit, and she is the tournament's second seed. The Knicks are said to be close to an agreement with R.J. Barrett, a four-year, $120 million extension, so if they are to make a trade with Utah for Donovan Mitchell, it will not include Barrett. NFL teams must cut their rosters today. And a surprise, the 49ers are keeping Jimmy Garoppolo as a backup quarterback. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. Futures moving back up. We got S&P futures up 30 points. Dow futures up 192. NASDAQ futures are higher by 128 points, a gain of 1%. The 10-year Treasury yield right now, 3.05%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly sunny, maybe a late day shower, going up to near 90 degrees. Any showers end early tomorrow, clearing, highs in the upper 80s. Sunny, less humid for Thursday with a high near 85. Right now, 75.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks rising this morning, and U.S. futures are as well, as investor sentiment stabilizes following a rout sparked by the Federal Reserve's signal of a sustained period of restrictive monetary policy to quell inflation. Treasury yields and the dollar declining. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 29 points. Dow futures up 180. NASDAQ futures up 120. The DAX in Germany is up 1.3%. The 10-year Treasury up 11 30 seconds, yield 3.05%. The yield on the two-year, 3.41%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.6% on $1.50 at $95.53 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.25% or $4.30 at $17.45.40 an ounce. The euro is at 1.0033 against the dollar. British pound 1.1742. And the yen at 138.31. And Bitcoin is up 1.1% at $20,390. Today we are watching for several reports on home prices out at 9 a.m. Wall Street time. At 10, it's the JOLTS jobs report and consumer confidence, and Best Buy and Hewlett-Packard Enterprise among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Ukrainian forces launched ground assaults in the Kherson region of southern Ukraine. It comes as inspectors head to the nuclear plant to the northeast from the latest offensive. President Joe Biden plans to deliver a primetime speech Thursday in Philadelphia, assailing Republicans for what he regards as their threats to U.S. rights and freedom. Retirement will have to wait at the U.S. Open. Serena Williams advanced after her first-round win last night over Danka Kovinic. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Angels 4-3, but Aaron Judge hit his 50th home run of the season. Judge became one of 10 players in Major League history with multiple 50 homer seasons. All right, A.A. Ron.
the Red Sox and Giants lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
The verdict is in. Thank you, Michael. We're coming up to 5:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to turn now to politics because, as Michael mentioned, we are expecting a rare primetime speech from President Biden later on this week that really could set the tone for the midterm elections. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joins us now. Emily, good morning. As Michael mentioned, the president is expected to blast Republicans in this address. What more do we know about what the president plans to say on Thursday night?
So Biden is dusting off his 2020 playbook. He's going to come in and start talking again about the battle for the soul of the nation. He's going to slam Republicans for what he says is a threat to U.S. rights and freedoms. Think abortion rights. Think things that deal with elections, access to the ballot box. And think as well the addressing the fact that there are still some Republican candidates out there, as well as some Republicans, who have continually pushed the false claim that the 2020 election was stolen. And so expect Biden to mention all of that. This is coming at a point where things are looking up for the Democrats. It's still going to be a stretch for them to potentially hold the House, but things are looking much better for them to continue to hold the Senate. Biden's poll numbers have ticked slightly up. They were in the low of July. They're still only at 44%. So less than 50, but once again, better than they were. And so this is really a moment where Biden's trying to seize the momentum to get out there, to be in front of the American people. And the message that he's pushing, this isn't a new one. Democrats have been talking about the MAGA Republicans and the threat that Republicans pose really for months at this point. And I think that the fact the president's really getting out there on the campaign trail kind of shows that we're at the point where things are very much shifting from thoughts of legislating to thoughts of campaigning. We're really going to see things get underway after Labor Day.
It is interesting, though, because as you mentioned, the Democrats are sort of riding this wave of momentum that's driven in large part, one could argue, by the legislative wins that Democrats have seen over the last several weeks. Is there a risk for the president to sort of go back to this message of Republicans being anti-democratic, the semi-fascism line that a number of Republicans have seized on as going too far?
I mean, certainly there are always going to be criticisms of the president after any sort of speech. And I think that, you know, there's definitely debate to be had over exactly how far it should go. Biden came in and really expressed himself as a president who was going to be bipartisan, who was going to work across the aisle. He does have some things he can point to, right? He has that infrastructure bill. He has the semiconductor bill. Both of those were done with bipartisan support. At the same point, when Democrats look at their strategy and look at the playbook, what they see is that what they really need to do is kind of cast the Republican Party as just something that's not in the best interest of Americans. Republicans, of course, have pushed back, saying that if you look at high inflation prices, you look at gas prices that are still way too high, this is the Democrats' fault, and they are going to rally behind a number of policies to really help the economy. They've been very focused on the issues. When I've talked to Republican candidates and tried to get them to talk about the 2020 election or abortion, they're very quite quickly pivot back to the overall agenda. And that's what Republicans are really banking on in their messaging.
In our last minute here, Emily, we've had a pretty significant geopolitical development. Word of a pretty sizable arms sale coming from the U.S. to Taiwan.
Yeah, we are hearing that the State Department is prepared to sell $1.1 billion in missiles and radar support to Taiwan. Now, Congress has to sign off on this package, but it's very likely that they're going to do so, given the wide bipartisan support we've seen from Taiwan. I mean, we've seen a Democratic Senator Ed Markey go there. We've seen Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn go there just in the recent weeks. And of course, there was Speaker Pelosi's historic trip earlier this month. So you're really seeing this wide support. And this comes at a time where, you know, China and the relationship between Beijing and Washington has really ratcheted up in terms of tension. China has continued to send warships and aircrafts to the Taiwan Strait on a daily basis. And you're seeing this willingness for Congress to continue to engage, even though tensions in the region have been particularly high even before Speaker Pelosi's trip and certainly afterwards.
Thanks, Emily. Good having you on with us this morning. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins keeping track of all the developments for us from the nation's capital. Looking at developments on Wall Street, futures are bouncing back. We've got S&P futures up 32 points right now. Dow futures higher by 209. NASDAQ futures up 134 points. And the 10-year Treasury is up 11/32 now. The yield 3.06%. Coming up, more on the market recovery and why one prominent Fed voice is saying he's happy about the two-day market slide. That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine, chance for a late day shower today going up to near 90 degrees. Any showers end early tomorrow. We'll have highs in the upper 80s once again. Mid-80s, sunny and less humid for Thursday. Right now, 75 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Futures are bouncing back after two straight days of losses on Wall Street. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ 100 posted their worst two-day tumbles since mid-June, following Fed Chair Jay Powell's hawkish comments on Friday. Terry Spath is Chief Investment Officer with Zuma Wealth.
The markets are spooked because they're afraid that the Fed could create a hard landing. Looking forward into September, what we're going to want to try and anticipate is if we see a 75 basis point rise, which I think is a very high probability, an increasing probability, is that digested as bad news or as good news?
Zuma Wealth CIO Terry Spath says she expects continued market volatility in the short term.
Well, while the market may have been rattled by Powell's speech, Karen, Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari says he was comforted by the sell-off.
I was actually happy to see how Chair Powell's Jackson Hole speech was received. You know, people now understand the seriousness of our commitment to getting inflation back down to 2%.
Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari spoke on the Odd Lots podcast with Bloomberg's Tracy Alloway and Joe Weisenthal. Listen to the entire interview wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Nathan, interest rates are in focus in Europe. ECB chief economist Philip Lane seemed to question the idea of a 75 basis point hike at next week's meeting.
If we think about the next couple of years, we're not necessarily going to be in that long-run steady state. We may have cyclical forces in either direction that say that the policy rate should be above the neutral rate. We may have cyclical forces that may say the policy rate should be below that rate.
ECB chief economist Philip Lane is urging a steady pace of rate hikes to fight record inflation.
To politics now, Karen. Bloomberg News has learned the Biden administration's preparing to sell $1.1 billion in missiles and radar support to Taiwan, which will likely increase tensions with China.
Well, back at home, Nathan, President Biden will deliver a primetime speech this week, escalating criticism of what he calls extreme MAGA Republicans. It comes as the president is seeing his approval ratings improve ahead of the November midterms. Bloomberg political contributor Jeannie Sheehan Zeno says for Democrats, one strategy will be keeping former President Trump in the news.
The political reality is the more Donald Trump is in the news, the better for Democrats. And that's
sure.
been reality. So, you know, the more Trump, the better for them.
And Bloomberg politics contributor Jeannie Sheehan Zeno spoke to Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio. Futures higher this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, 75 degrees in Central Park. Got some emergency work in Jersey City. Route 440 is closed both ways at Danforth Avenue. Details in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Nathan, thank you very much. New York Mayor Eric Adams says he is signing several bills to expand access and resources to pregnant women. Mayor Adams says these bills will promote and expand access to maternal health care.
From the overturning of Roe versus Wade, to state efforts to criminalize those who seek abortions, reproductive health care is in danger. The health choices should be made by women and their bodies. They should make the decisions on these important medical moments.
Mayor Adams says one of the bills establishes a maternal Bill of Rights. More busloads of migrants are coming to New York City today from Texas. The city continues to try and find places for the asylum seekers. Authorities say the 20-year-old who opened fire in a Bend, Oregon supermarket, killing two before he turned the gun on himself, was a loner who was known for getting into fights at the high school where he graduated in 2020. Meanwhile, a vigil was held last night for the victims who were shot at the Safeway store Sunday night. Flooding has caused a worst-case scenario to hit the drinking water supply for Jackson, Mississippi. One of the main pumps at the city's main water treatment facility failed earlier than predicted. The city can no longer provide enough running water for everyone. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves.
Please stay safe. Do not drink the water. In too many cases, it is raw water from the reservoir being pushed through the pipes.
Governor Reeves says Jackson's mayor declared a state of emergency. Ukraine's military says it is advancing in Russian-held territory just north of the Crimea Peninsula. President Zelensky didn't talk specifically about the operation there in the region. He said Ukrainian forces were retaking this country's territory, and he had a message for Russian forces. If you want to survive, it's time to flee. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Night of home runs for the Yankees and Angels in Anaheim. The Angels hit three, one by ex-Yank Mike Ford, another by Shohei Ohtani. Two-run shot, his 29th. Yankees got solo home runs from Anthony Rizzo, fourth inning, his 29th. And then in the eighth, a patented Aaron Judge blast to straightaway center field. Judge's 50th home run becomes only the 10th to have done it twice, but the Angels won 4-3. The Yanks' third straight loss after winning five in a row. The Mets were off. They host the high-flying Dodgers tonight. L.A. has won 25 of the last 31. Serena Williams has never actually used the word retiring. She admits to being vague, said last night she'll continue to be vague in her career. Definitely not over yet. She won her first-round match at the U.S. Open. Straight sets over Danka Kovinic, much to the delight of a big crowd.
When I walked out, the reception was really overwhelming. It was loud, and it was I could feel it in my chest, and it was a really good feeling.
Serena will be back tomorrow night for what figures to be a tougher match with second seed Annette Contavite. Opening day upsets: Dominic Thiem, who won the Open 2 years ago, lost. So did fourth seeded Stefano Tsitsipas. Taylor Fritz, the highest seeded American, beaten by fellow American Brandon Hall. He's the son of one-time U.S. Open champ Tracy Austin. Simona Halep, stunned by Daria Snyder, a 20-year-old from Ukraine. She's a qualifier. She had never before won a professional match. R.J. Barrett, only 22 years old and yet on the verge of a contract extension with the Knicks, 4 years, $120 million. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York City continues to be the priciest place in the country to be a tenant. Median one-bedroom rent for August is up 40% year-over-year. That's according to the Zumper National Rent Index. Median rent for two-bedroom apartments was up about 47%. Manhattan leads the boroughs, with monthly rent climbing to $4,212. New Jersey is cutting an automotive fuel tax by 1 cent per gallon after consumer demand was higher than expected. Petroleum products gross receipt charge will drop to 30.9 cents for gasoline, 34.9 cents for diesel in October. As tennis icon Serena Williams prepared for her final U.S. Open tournament, she also readied herself for the next stage of her career away from the tennis court. Williams says she'll focus on her family and her venture capital firm after tennis. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Toyota's global output shrank for a fourth straight month on the semiconductor shortage.
I'm Steve Podolsky, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about California nut exporters turning to the Port of L.A. as an alternative to the backed-up Port of Oakland.
I'm Caroline Hetfield, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on British pubs on the brink of going bust without support for energy bills. Just the latest sector demanding more government help.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Michigan restaurants are still having a tough time finding workers.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. As Russia's war with Ukraine plods on, a pincer movement is advancing toward British households this winter. The price of natural gas has skyrocketed since the invasion, boosting electricity costs and pushing up prices for manufacturing inputs, food, and pretty much everything else. With UK energy demand set to rise in the colder months, the financial pressure on millions of households could soon prove intolerable. Unfortunately, this looming emergency has gotten too little attention during the Conservative Party's leadership race. The winner of the election will need to deliver both short-term relief and longer-term reforms to bolster energy security. By any measure, Britain is likely to face a long, hard winter. The next prime minister will need foresight and ambition to forestall the worst. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at O-P-I-N go. Well, after the two-day slide following Chairman Powell's comments, futures are moving higher this morning. S&P futures are up 37 points. Dow futures up 241. NASDAQ futures leading the gains this morning, up 151 points. SD Dweck, Chief Investment Officer at Flow Bank, joins us next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, sunny, chance for a late day shower today, upper 80s for highs. Any showers end early tomorrow, clearing, highs in the upper 80s once again. Sunny, less humid, mid 80s for Thursday. Right now, 75 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks on the rise this morning along with U.S. stock index futures as investor sentiment stabilizes following a rout sparked by the Federal Reserve's signal of a sustained period of restrictive monetary policy to quell inflation. Treasury yields and the dollar are declining. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 35 points this morning. Dow futures up 232 and NASDAQ futures up 144. The DAX in Germany is up 1.7%. The 10-year Treasury up 11 32nds. Yield 3.06%. The yield on the 2-year 3.40%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.9% at $1.80 at $95.22 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.25% or $4.60 at $17.45 10 an ounce. The euro 1.0035 against the dollar, the British pound 1.1733, and the yen 138.37. And Bitcoin is up 1.2% at $20,400. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Ukraine's military says it is advancing in Russian-held territory just north of the Crimea Peninsula. It comes as the International Atomic Energy Agency heads to the Russian-occupied nuclear power plant to the northeast in Ukraine. Tony Oronato, the senior Secret Service official whose name was at the center of controversy during the January 6th hearings, has retired. At the U.S. Open, hold on retirement. Serena Williams advanced after her first-round win last night over Danka Kovacic. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Angels 4-3, but Aaron Judge hit his 50th home run of the season. Judge became only one of 10 players in MLB history to have multiple 50-homer seasons. The Red Sox and Giants lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
And it's not even September yet. Thank you, Michael. It is 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's jump into these markets now. SD Dweck joins us, Chief Investment Officer at Flow Bank. SD, good morning. We're seeing futures rise after the two-day slide following Jackson Hole. Do you buy this dip?
Good morning.
I think I would. There's a lot of talk about this Fed pivot that wasn't happening, but I don't think we were ever going to get an actual pivot. The market wasn't expecting the Fed to start cutting now or to stop hiking. The Fed is clearly past the most aggressive part of its tightening cycle. We're probably going to get 50 basis points unless we get a really bad inflation number for August, which indicators don't seem to be pointing that way. And then we'll have a couple more 25 basis points. But we're moving into the end of the tightening cycle. And I think the Fed needed to re-anchor those medium to long-term expectations, reaffirm it was going to keep fighting inflation because it felt the market maybe got a little too complacent over the summer. But I don't think this speech should be that much of a surprise and change the perspectives. And you can see, you didn't see that much of a move in the bond market.
Now you're getting right into the heart of the debate, aren't you? Whether the Fed is going to pivot, I guess, to slower rate hikes. Dig a little deeper into your call here. Why do you think the Fed is going to start slowing down next month?
We saw in the July minutes that they know it takes 3 to 6 months for the rate hikes to feed through into the economy. We've started to see a couple of data points showing that growth is gradually slowing, although not yet so much in the labor market, of course. And we're continuing to get these disinflation indicators. Hopefully, August comes in lower than July. And again, most of these indicators are pointing that way. 1 month doesn't make a trend, but 2, 3, 4 months in a row, if this continues into the end of the year, that gives a little confidence that inflation is coming down and they need to let the big, big rate hikes that they did in the second and third quarter have an impact on growth, bring demand down slowly, and let that feed through into next year.
I'm sure by now you've heard the comments to our Odd Lots podcast here on Bloomberg News from Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari saying that he was pretty happy with the market reaction following Chairman Powell's speech on Friday. He says it's a sign that the message from Powell on higher for longer rates was received by markets. Is the market sending a different message here?
I don't. Again, if you look at the bond market, you had more of a reaction before the speech than after. The terminal rate didn't change so much. The odds of 75 basis points versus 50 for September went up, but they've sort of retreated already since. I think the Fed also wanted to send a message that the rate cut expectations that were coming in sort of earlier and earlier in 2023 weren't going to happen. So I'm not sure it was so much about September or into the end of the year. I think it was a view that they are going to get restrictive, as we've already known, and they're going to stay restrictive for longer. And even if growth slows, it's kind of what they're hoping for. So they're not going to jump in at the first sign of a disappointing non-farm payrolls number or a softer PMI number. They're going to stay tighter for longer.
So given all that you're saying here, Esty, in our last minute or so, how are you advising your clients to add to risk? Are you making certain recommendations on sectors or styles through the rest of this year?
Well, we think that technology is going to resume its outperformance in the coming months and lead the market higher into the end of the year. Now, it doesn't mean we don't get more speed bumps like we did just now. And September for sure can be tricky, at least at some point during the month. So it's not, there's certainly no all clear signal. But some of the cyclical sectors should start to recover if growth holds up. And again, I think technology growth and earnings are going to continue to support the sector, and that will help lead the market higher.
Great to get your thoughts this morning, Esty. Thanks for this. Really appreciate you joining us. That's Esty Dweck, Chief Investment Officer at FlowBank. Karen.
All right, Nathan, it is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
A federal judge in Pennsylvania rejected Walmart's attempt to dismiss part of a lawsuit alleging that employees were not paid for working through meal breaks. A former New York City police officer filed a federal lawsuit charging that his dismissal over his personal relationships with Roger Stone and members of the Proud Boys violated his rights. Yeshiva University is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene in a dispute over the establishment of a Pride student group. It is the latest national legal clash over LGBTQ protections and the free exercise of religion.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching this morning. The U.S. Department of Justice said it already screened documents seized from Donald Trump's Florida home for attorney-client privilege, potentially casting doubt on the former president's lawsuit seeking third-party review of the records. For more Bloomberg News, legal reporter Zoe Tillman joined Kimberly Robinson to discuss the new developments.
You know, we learned a couple of key things, the first being that investigators are quite far along in going through the documents that were seized to the point that they could tell a judge in Florida that their privilege team had gone through the documents that were seized, had identified that some were potentially attorney-client privilege material, and that they were already going through the process that they had previously laid out for what to do with that information. It was a strong suggestion to the judge, perhaps, that this is all moot and far too late in the game to bring in someone now to unring the bell of giving investigators access to these documents.
So putting aside the special master issue, what's the normal procedure that the DOJ goes through when dealing with privileged documents like this?
Yeah, so it's pretty common for a federal investigation, especially one like this, to have what's known as a taint team or a filter team or a privilege team, which is a collection of usually FBI agents and prosecutors who are not the lead prosecutors and case agents in an investigation. And the purpose of that is so that the folks who are ultimately prosecuting the case, they don't see something that could get them disqualified or knocked out of the investigation at some later critical phase, or I think worst case scenario for the Justice Department, jeopardize the entire integrity of the investigation. What's less clear here is the concept of executive privilege and whether that type of privilege is something that the Justice Department could or should filter for as they're going through these documents. That's not typically what a taint team would be looking for. So that's a big question mark. And the Justice Department did not address that issue, which Trump has raised in the filing today.
And that's Bloomberg News legal reporter Zoe Tillman speaking to Kimberly Robinson. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And taking a look at the markets this morning with futures on the rise, S&P futures up about 36 points, Dow futures up 231. And NASDAQ futures up 145, or about 1.2%. 10-year Treasury is up 10/32nds, yield 3.06%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.40%. NYMEX crude oil is falling, down 1.7% at $1.67 at $95.34 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2%, or $3.10. It's $1746.60 an ounce. The euro, 1.0033 against the dollar. The yen, 138.34. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.